The Old Testament reading is from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. The New Testament reading is from Revelation 4, 1 through 11. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they would never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being."
As he speaks to us, let us affirm our faith in him through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Father, hear us now as we come before you to understand more what your word means to us through your servant. Open our hearts and our minds, for we ask these things in your name, and through your blessed Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Be seated.
I believe. What a statement. I believe in God. What a statement. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven, the Maker of earth. What an enormous statement. We can't begin to fathom the truth that God is the Creator. Can't begin. He's the Creator of both the physical world and the spiritual world. That makes it all the more incredible. He tells us about it in Genesis. He says, "In the beginning, I created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep." There was chaos. And he brought order out of chaos. God is not a God of chaos. God is a God of order. His Spirit hovered over the waters. And then the drama began. Let there be light. And there was light. From there, the creation account is a crescendo. Until we come to the sixth day, the crown of creation, He created you and me. Mankind, you and I, His creatures, the wonders of His hands. But there are those who say it didn't happen that way. They like to talk about the Big Bang. They like to talk about evolution. They do not believe that God is the creator of the heavens and earth. How do you deal with arguments from people like that? Well, to understand the Creator, I think it's important that we understand His creation. In philosophy, the naysayers have a fancy phrase they like to use. It's called cosmological speculation. That's a lofty name. Its popular name is the Big Bang Theory. Let's start there. Let's start with the Big Bang Theory. In essence, it says that there was a super atom that was hot and full of gases, and it got hotter and it kept expanding until finally, bang, and all the stars and the galaxies and the planets and the black holes and whatever else is out there, all of those things happen from the Big Bang about 13 billion years ago. One of the things that the people with the Big Bang Theory have not addressed, however, is where that first super atom might have come from in the first place. It's just like the chicken and the egg. You all know that story. And we can argue all day whether the chicken came first or the egg came first. Philosophers have no answer for the super atom. Here's what the philosopher's statement is. Now try to follow me with this, because this is one of those statements. Well, just listen with both ears. They say, if anything now exists, that's an interesting statement to begin with. If anything now exists, then either something must be eternal, or something not eternal must have emerged from nothing. Let me read that again. If anything now exists, then either something must be eternal, or something not eternal must have emerged from nothing. How would you like to live your life by that statement? There are four choices with that statement. One, something did emerge from nothing. Two, the universe is eternal. Three, the universe is an illusion, or four, the universe is created and therefore finite. And I want to look at all four of those choices. Number one, something emerged from nothing. If you subscribe to that statement, I have some land in the Everglades I would like to sell to you for a good price. They look at us and we say we were created by an intelligent being, and they think we're crazy. It takes more faith to believe that something emerged from nothing than it does to believe that an intelligent being put all of the laws of nature together and had a plan. Number two, the universe is eternal. Is that scientific? There are four laws in thermodynamics, and the second law says that the universe is losing heat. It's getting cold. It's running out of energy. Therefore, the universe is not eternal. The universe is finite. That's number two. We've dealt with something emerged from nothing. We've dealt with the fact that the universe is eternal. What's the third option? The universe is an illusion. The very fact that they're sitting there and talking to you is a contradiction to that philosophy. They are loony to think such a thing. The universe, if the universe were an illusion, you and I couldn't photograph it. We couldn't predict Halley's Comet coming back every 75, 76 years. We couldn't predict lunar eclipse and solar eclipse. The universe is not an illusion. That comes to option number four. The universe is created and therefore is finite. Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, who clearly stated this in Romans chapter 1. The wrath of God. That should catch our attention. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's visible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood by what has been made, so that man is without excuse. In other words, you philosophical deniers, open your eyes and open your ears and shut your mouth. I created you. I am God. I enjoyed this little story. Somebody asked St. Augustine, where was God before the heavens were created? And St. Augustine gave a typical answer. He said, God was in himself because God was the only self-contained infinite God. Well, years later, someone asked Martin Luther the same question. Where was God before the universe, the heavens were created? And Martin Luther said, he was creating hell for arrogant people like you. Go get them, Martin. So much for the Big Bang Theory. I believe that God is the creator of everything, and on that fact, I have solid faith, and I suspect I'm preaching to the choir here. But now we have to deal with Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin came along, and he had the theory of evolution, which basically says that all species have descended over time from a common ancestry. He says we were not created, we have evolved. This is, by the way, is a revealing quote from the heart of Charles Darwin. He said, quote, a scientific man ought to have no wishes, no affections, a mere heart of stone. Whoa. I wouldn't like to be married to a person like that. How sad. Now, here's the situation. There is scientific evidence that there is some truth to the theories of evolution that Charles Darwin introduced in the 1800s, and that gives us problems when we're talking about the creation. But it's a ludicrous theory if you take it to the extreme. For example, let's go into a factory where they make Ford trucks. How did that truck get there? Well, the evolutionists would say that it got there because of the workers on the assembly line putting it together. The creationist, we would say, it got there because an engineer designed it first. A house testifies to a builder. A dress testifies to a weaver. A door testifies to a carpenter. A song testifies to a composer, a novel to an author. And so our world by its very existence testifies to a divine creator. Evolution is not the cause of creation. Evolution, in whatever form it may exist, is only an effect of creation. Cause and effect. You've heard about that. Let's go back to the Big Bangers just a moment. They don't like to talk about cause and effect. I've already talked about the fact that they don't like to trace back to where that first Adam came from. Because the universe was either caused or not caused, to use philosophical language. And if it was not caused, then it's always been here. We've dealt with the fact that the universe is not eternal. But the Big Bangers like to regress even more. And the evolutionists like to do the same thing. They like to trace backwards from you to your parents, to your grandparents, to your ancestors, all the way to that amoeba that supposedly crawled out of something and developed into who you are. And then when you keep going back, you have to say, well, who caused God? God is eternal. God is almighty. In the beginning, God. Here are some wonderful, wonderful scriptures where God shouts at us. Listen, mankind. God is talking in Psalm 94. Take heed, you senseless ones among the people, you fools. When will you become wise? Does he who implanted the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? Does he who disciplines nations not punish? Does he who teaches man lack knowledge? The Lord knows the thoughts of men. He knows that they are futile. Or Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. Or Psalm 89, the heavens are yours, Lord, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. You created the north and the south. Mount Tabor and Mount Hermon sing for joy in your name. Oh, I'd love to be able to have ears to hear that song. Your arm is endued with power. Your hand is strong. Your right hand exalted. This is Isaiah 40. To whom will you compare me, says the Lord? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look at the heavens. Who created these? And here's God's answer to the question. He who brings out the starry hosts, one by one, and calls each of them by name. Because of his great power and his mighty strength, not one of them is missing. And this, Revelation 4, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Hallelujah! I believe in God, the maker of heaven and earth. Let me ask you, evolutionists, this. Can you take a monkey and give him a word processor and he comes out with Hamlet? Can you feed a parrot a cracker and the parrot can recite the 23rd Psalm? Take heed, you senseless ones, you fools. God created the heavens and the earth, and we believe it with all of our hearts and our minds and our soul. Explain to me the human eye. Explain to me the wind. Explain to me the source of the waters. Explain to me how a 17-year cicada knows to come out of the ground when he does. Explain to me the robin's song. How does the robin know to sing that song? How does the baboon in the National Zoo know to scream before the earthquake? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, who has the whole world in his hands. He's got 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 the whole world in his hands. In case you didn't hear it, we sing it four times. On the sixth day, God created man. You. Why? I love what Billy Graham gave as an answer. Billy Graham said this: God created man because God loves. And he wanted an object to love. He created man so that we could return his love. Erwin Lutzer of Moody Church in Chicago said this: before God created the universe, he had you in mind. Heaven, earth, you. He fathered you. I love this psalm, Psalm 139. For you, Lord, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You and I were created out of love, for love, because of love, and to reflect the holiness of the Creator. Jesus Christ understood the purpose of creation. Jesus Christ fulfilled the image of God here on earth. His meat and his drink was to do the will of God. Brothers and sisters, you are an incomplete person until you acknowledge your Creator, his holiness, your desire to reflect his holiness, your desire to seek above all else to do his will. God's will is that you accept him, accept his perfect love, and accept his sacrificial death for you through his Son, Jesus Christ. All over the planet today, as I said earlier, every minute, every hour, believers are celebrating Jesus Christ through the sacrament of Holy Communion. They are celebrating not only the creation, but the recreation that you and I are in Jesus Christ. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the recreator of me, of you. Born again. Lord God, it is awesome to receive your forgiveness and your grace and your sacrifice. We thank you for this holy moment, and we thank you that you have called us to yourself, and we thank you that you have cleansed us anew through your blood shed, your body broken. Lord, we remember, and we praise you, and we love you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.